This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I want to hit something real quick before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. This little Swalwell line, he's always out there making an idiot of himself on cable news. But I like when the idiots talk because the idiots reveal the things the smart people are thinking but are smart enough to not say. Here's Swalwell.
Again, I don't want to get in the business of telling troops what they can and cannot watch. But if you have a news station that a court is going to rule in its evening hour, perpetuating dis and misinformation, I don't know if I disagree with Boat Vets, who is saying that we need to take a look at, how this is being broadcast to our troops. I hope that's an incentive for Fox News to clean up its evening hour, starting with Tucker Carlson and going late into the evening with Laura Ingraham. They all spun and told these lies.
People have lamented what's happened to our military a lot, especially listeners of the show, veterans, guys who are still in, guys who have served proudly. Jesse, I hate what they've done. I hate what they've done. And you've heard me say those same words. I do too. It makes me sick what they've done. What they've done to my beloved Marine Corps. Gosh. Anyway. So why though? Well, remember, we were always naive to think they were going to leave the military alone. You do remember that, women haven't been on naval ships for very long, right? And you do know that that has been an unmitigated disaster. Women have no place on deployed naval vessels at all. And I know no one will say that in this country, but again, it's my job as Daddy Jesse to tell you things that everyone knows but won't say. Women have no place on deployed naval vessels. It's a bunch of dudes out at sea with a few chicks. They all end up hooking up with everybody. Then you have drama, then you have disaster, it adds nothing, it takes away everything, and half of them get knocked up on purpose before they deploy, so they don't have to deploy anyway. It is a disaster, an unmitigated disaster. Same thing is happening as they're starting to weave women into the various infantry units out there. It's a disaster. Their bodies aren't made for it, plus just biologically, they shouldn't be there. But again, no one wants to have this discussion. We've talked about it here on the show before. Why do I work with Chris and Michael instead of Candy and Cinnamon? because human nature is what it is. And as fun as that would be, I'd like to not blow my entire life up. So it's going to be Chris and Michael for the time being. You can't take a 20-year-old dime and put her in with a room full of 20-year-old dudes and have it end in anything but disaster. Not because she's bad and not because the dudes are bad, because of human nature is what it is. Now, that got me off on a tangent here, but Bill Clinton was the one who brought that in. He was the one who ushered that in. But that was right about the time we should have all started being aware of something. I think that was Clinton. Chris, look at that. I believe that was a Clinton thing. Gosh, there's a chance that may have been older, but I think I'm almost positive that was a Clinton policy. Look that up, make sure I didn't just lie to everybody. But the communist, again, he takes power, any power he has over anything. He believes he should use it to gain more power and to hurt his enemies. That's what the communist does with power. Because the right doesn't look at power like that, and we pride ourselves on limiting power, we have allowed him to take over everything. It was Clinton, wasn't it, Chris? Yeah, I knew it was. Anyway, we've allowed him to take over everything. We didn't want to get involved here. The communists would never dream of having power over the military and not using that power. Because you're a patriot, you wouldn't want to politicize the military because you love the country and you love the veterans and just support the troops and give them what they need. The communist doesn't think in terms like that. Remember, number one, the three things they all have in common, we'll just focus on number one, no love of country. That's hard for patriots like you to understand and accept. You look at the military and your hands over your heart as they sing the national anthem at the baseball game. And when the jets fly overhead, it's freaking borderline religious. It's wonderful. You get choked up. America, baby. He doesn't have those feelings. None of those. He doesn't look at the military and feel that way. He looks at the military and sees, okay, well, they're part of the federal government. There's something the federal government is in charge of. That's power I have over all these people. I need to use that power. That's why your military is packed full of trannies now. It's what they do. That's why your military is packed full of anti-white racism now. It's what they do. Dear Jesse, I live in North Carolina. I'm turning 17 this year. I'm starting to think about my future. I want to work with big machinery and trucks, but I don't know where to get started. Do you have any idea of how I can get started? Help me, Obi-Wan Kelly. You're my only hope. Also, if you can please read it. If you read this, read it in the first hour, please. Sorry, we missed that one. just missed it by a hair. All right, listen. You young fellas out there who are thinking about getting into the trades, maybe doing some construction, heavy machinery, HVAC, things like that. One, you need to look for an apprenticeship if you're looking at HVAC stuff or welding. Welding's a great gig, or plumbers. All kinds of not only apprenticeship jobs, but paid apprenticeship jobs. As far as heavy machinery goes, I have a little bit of experience with that. Did you know I can run heavy machinery, construction machinery, Chris? My dad was in construction, his grandpa too. I think I was 7 years old, and I was with my dad at the Caterpillar plant in Peoria, Illinois, and they had essentially this huge football stadium set up, only there's dirt, it's all dirt, and they have all the equipment out there. As a child, they would let me, and I was the only kid there, they'd let me go out and get on the equipment and run the equipment around. I think it was the coolest thing, but then when I started working construction, my dad, he made me do all the crappy jobs, and I was never really allowed on the equipment because he said that was too much fun, and that's not why I was there. But either way, eventually I did get to run some equipment. I can run your front-end loader and a hoe and all other things like that. Traco, an excavator. Excavator. We call them hoe. Gosh, Chris, what is your problem? Anyway, if you want to get into that kind of construction and you want to do heavy equipment operating, like that kind of stuff, one, you're not going to start out as a heavy equipment operator. Two, you should know that if you do become a heavy equipment operator, you can make really good money, man. There's really good money, money to support a family on. That's a good life, a good living. You're in an air-conditioned cab half the daggone time. It's a good life, so that's a good good. It's a good thing to want to do. I support you on it. Even start your own little excavation company one day if you're business minded. But here's what you need to do for that kind of thing. You just need to go to the local construction crew you see working and walk up to them and tell them you want to get started in construction. And what they're going to do, they're not used to white guys showing up if you're a white dude, and by the looks of your name, you're a white dude. It's all Mexicans out there, because those are the ones who want to work with their hands in this country now. It's all Mexicans in various parts of the Latino community. So they'll be a little dumbfounded why a white dude's walking up to them. But either way, maybe bone up on your Spanish a little and go up and tell them, I want to work. They're going to put you to work doing the most basic jobs. You're going to be a gopher. You're going to do all the crappy stuff I did. Run and pick up this silt fence. Get down in the ditch. Move this here. Dig this. Mix this concrete up. But you will work your way up eventually. Make some good money. Good scratch. Take your old lady out to Red Lobster on a Friday. Make sure you work your way into being a heavy equipment operator. Now, I don't know what's official out there for schools. I'm sure there are plenty of them now. I didn't ever get any schooling on it. I was just get in it and learn how to use it. And that's kind of how I learned. But that's the way to go. Show up on the job site and tell them you want to work. A lot of young men out there, because we have different society, different economy now, they don't want to work. They're going to be happy. They want people who will show up to work. And then show up on time. Don't show up drunk or hungover. Don't get arrested like half the construction guys do. You got to bail half the guys out for DUI before you can have a full crew for the day. Show up on time. Don't leave early. Don't office gossip. And when you're given a task, even a crappy one, don't return to your foreman or superintendent until it's complete. And you're going to find yourself advancing rapidly out there. Also, like I said, bone up on some Spanish, because they're going to be talking about you behind your back. And that's kind of hilarious. What, Chris? It's awesome. It's part of the job. How do you think I learned to hablar?
Buenas tardes.
I didn't learn that in Spanish class, where I got a low C. I learned that in the construction world, baby. All right. How much would it take to buy me off as a politician? Could I be bought off? Manning up. Someone wants to yell at me for being part-time, and someone wants to know who is training these American communists. We have the best questions today. They're still all over. Before we get to them, let's get to speaking of veterans, let's get to supporting the ones who are left behind because they seem to fall through the cracks of a society. And that's not because society is bad, but when dad doesn't come home from Afghanistan, when mom goes out walking a beat and gets ambushed as a cop and doesn't come home, that hole in the family is left for a long, long time. Forever, really. Tunnel to Towers coming alongside those people, paying off mortgages for them, building them an entire community in Florida so they can live together and support each other. Is there a more blessed mission than caring for widows and orphans who've lost dad? Lost mom. That's powerful, man. And go look up their charity rating, like I always tell you to do. When you give to Tunnel to Towers, it goes to widows and orphans, homeless veterans. It's wonderful. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. They ask for $11 a month. T2T.org. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
I was introduced and we both started grooving. She said, I dig you, baby, buddy. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. If you're a podcast type of person, they put the podcast on that thing there. Now, I'm glad somebody out there asked a good question today, or an appropriate question. Here's this guy. Jesse, I know people, even your loved ones, have been ragging on you about missing Wednesday for your wife's surgery. No one is asking how you feel during these trying times. So, Jesse, how are you hanging in there? People need to start respecting men who have to miss meals and cleaning when their wives are down for the day. I say no more. Thank you. Thank you, somebody, everyone. Oh, Jesse, wishing the best for your wife. Jesse, I hope your wife's doing well. Not one person checked to make sure how I'm doing. You know how I'm doing? I had to do the dishes last night. And you know what sucks the worst about doing the dishes? It's not like I don't know how to do the dishes or I've never done the dishes. But there are all these dishes in the sink, which is weird because we've been trying to order in while she's down. I didn't want to create more dishes. I knew I was going to have to do the dishes, and then my back hurts. And I'm not going to go into all the details, right? It's been backbreaking at home. Let's just put it that way, Chris. Backbreaking. But you load the dishwasher, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all how careful you are to try to load the dishwasher and use every little bit in there. And I do. I'm just dropping stuff in random open places I see. It doesn't matter how you do it. Eventually, the woman will come look at how you loaded the dishwasher, and she will offer some criticism of some kind. I actually got griped at the other day. Actually, she laughed. She looked at it, and she said, "Did you do this, Jess?" And I said, "Do what?" And I'm looking, and the dishwasher looked fine. It looked fine. And she said, "The spoons are upside down." What difference does it make? It's like 4 inches apart. The hot water and the soap just, it does that thing. That's the sound it makes. And it sprays all over the place in there. Who cares which direction the spoons are turned? I'm sorry. I had to get that off. I had to get that off my chest. Dear part-time host, full-time world-famous author, we often hear about the self-proclaimed, own words, trained Marxists of BLM. What I'd like someone to ask them is who trained them? Who, pray tell, are their great Marxist trainers? Also, please take it easy on Chris. Take it easy on Chris. I always take it easy on Chris. That's one. Two, who trained them? Here's something that has been revealing for me. Very, very revealing for me. Especially in the last few years as I've dug into more and more of this stuff. Not that the communist is, not that he has the numbers and not that he is a super genius, but how many different communist groups there are out there and how difficult, and if not impossible, it is to track down how they are funded. And here's a great example. Did you know how many of the, quote, going green environmental groups there are out there? There's not one. There's, I don't know how many. There's so many of them. And some of them are tied to each other. Some of them aren't tied to each other. Some of them have fairly obvious and open kinds of funding. Some of them don't have obvious and open kinds of funding. Keep in mind, communist billionaires are committed to the cause. They will throw millions and millions and millions of dollars away with no return on investment in an effort to destroy the society they hate so much. George Soros does this all the time, and now his son does it as well. This is they don't get money back from this. They get to burn down the country they hate. Not only that, you'll have cartels, Mexican drug cartels, funding environmental groups in America. Why? The environmental group, sometimes they don't even know that's who they're being funded by, but the environmental group will go out and say, "No, you can't have the border patrol in this area with their four-wheelers. This is a sacred area where, I don't know, the Indians used to do the rain dances. Either way, this is now a national monument. No more border patrol." Boom, border patrol gone. Cartels move right in, move their drugs through, oftentimes grow their drugs in these places. College campuses are unreal for this. Unbelievable for this, how many different small groups there are. Remember, we're worried about a big enough group. The communist is always worried about starting his own. If you decided to become an anti-human dirtball, and let's say there was one communist headquarters, there's a million as we just laid out, but you showed up to communist headquarters in America tomorrow and you said, "Hey, I want to be an anti-human turd like the rest of you. Which group should I join?" You know what they would tell you? They would tell you, "Well, no, show up here on Friday night. We're doing some training for community agitation and things like that. But really, you need to start your own group." That's part of the reason you feel overwhelmed when we do, in fact, have the numbers. They all start a group. There's a group. There's an advocacy. There's a malcontent group for this and a malcontent group for that. Who trained Black Lives Matter? Who cares? There are so many communist boot camps out there, from college campuses to, quote, nonprofits. There are so many groups out there teaching these people how to agitate, how to attack an existing institution and tear it down and tear it down. Professionals. Professional destroyers. Not builders. They can't build anything. Professional destroyers. Maybe it's time to break away from this for a moment and focus on dogs, because that was pretty heavy. Let's talk about my useless dog, Fred. He is useless, I admit that. But he's a good guard dog. I guess he's worth that. And at least he doesn't have issues, stomach issues, after eating. Because I've always believed that it's because my dog, I have one of the only dogs in the world with anxiety issues, but he would have serious problems after every single meal. He doesn't have those ever anymore. I don't remember the last time he had them. What changed? We didn't change his food. We started pouring Rough Greens on his food. We used to just do it for breakfast. Now we pour Rough Greens on his breakfast and his dinner. Fred gets digestive enzymes now. Probiotics, vitamins, minerals. I have a healthier dog. Still has the same uselessness to him, but at least there's a lot less cleanup. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. That'll give you a free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Working on a night
moves. Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For a long time, run over. for a long time.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. You know who's going to get cut down, Chris? People who don't go when the light turns green. That's who's going to get cut down. After that Ask Dr. Jesse question from earlier, my hackles are up, Chris. I'm ready to roll. Go ahead and try me on the way home today, drivers. Try me, all right? Get off your phone. It's the Jesse Kelly Show, and I just wanted to remind you of something critical on this Friday.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Jesse, if you were a politician, how much money would it take to buy you off? It seems like these politicians nowadays do it for pennies. All right. This is an interesting question to answer. It's interesting for a couple different reasons. One, you want to know something really sad? This is really sad. But I was talking to, I forget who it was, one of these experts on China and Chinese culture and the Communist Chinese Party today. And he said the reputation of Americans in China is that they can be bribed cheaply. That's freaking embarrassing, isn't it? It's embarrassing. And it goes, look, we were making fun of Swalwell earlier, but remember Swalwell got busted in that very publicly embarrassing scandal because he was sitting on the House Intelligence Committee and he was clearly playing pitch and catch with a Chinese spy. Well, how's something like that happen? Our politicians, instead of mostly being accomplished people who have other parts of their life that are accomplished and then they just go do politics to serve for a while or bolster their resume, politics is really all they've ever known. They're just a bunch of nerds and weaklings and losers who've never been punched in the face. They've never heard a shot fired in anger. They've never had a pretty girl touch their leg. They're just a bunch of losers. So you get some dork like Swalwell in there at this critically important position of power. All it took was one Asian dime batting her eyes at him, and he was dumping state secrets on that chick like you couldn't possibly believe. Oh, my gosh, she likes me, guys. A girl who's above a 5 is paying attention to me. Wow. It really is a problem that we have so many dorks and goobers in our politics. So they're bought off easy. They're bought off easy. How much would it take to buy me off? It's an interesting question. Here's why it's an interesting question. This is one of those things that I worry about. And here's why I worry about it. I have seen over my life, I've been political since I was in my 20s. I wasn't really political before then, so mid-20s. Early to mid-20s, I started getting really, really political. Reading books, radio, just consuming stuff, figuring out what I believed and why I believed it. But I'll be honest, most of the people I have looked up to and listened to and read their books and watched their TV shows, most of them, where they are now, I find it to be embarrassing. They are pathetic shells of what they used to be. And I think I know why it is. I don't know this, but I think I know. Remember, I'm very new to this. I haven't even been doing this 5 years, so I don't know. And look, just between us, I'm not a millionaire. I don't have all this money and private jets and things like that. But if you stay in this business and you're successful in this business long enough, you will. And I suspect it's maybe a money problem where they just have too much of it and they don't care about working people or lose any connection to working people anymore. But the people, if you had asked me 10 years ago, I'm not in media. What was I doing 10 years ago? I was still selling RVs. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, who are the lions of the right? My list of 10 people I would have given you then, gosh, 7 or 8 of them now are utterly useless at best, if not borderline working for the other side. I'm talking radio people, TV people. It's pathetic. And I worry that it's about money. You actually asked me if I was a politician what I would sell out for. I don't know. But I apply this to myself, either as a politician or radio host or whatever. No, I'm not running for office. I'm not going anywhere. But I do worry that there's a number. I don't think there's a number, but I worry that there is a number. The reason I don't think there's a number is I'm not a huge money guy. I didn't grow up with money. You know who I am. You know what I am. I bought a fancy midlife crisis car, and I don't even really care for that. I think I'm going to go back to a pickup truck, as I mentioned earlier. I have a house. It's all I need. Wife has a 2014. It drives just fine. We don't have fancy jewelry and second homes and things. I like to eat, and we do like to take nice vacations. We like to take a nice vacation. I'm going to go to the beach and stay at a nice hotel, but I don't need more than I have. So I hope I couldn't be bought off or sell out. I hope 15 years from now, 20 years from now, I want the show to be huge. I want it to be the biggest show ever. But what if it's so big? What if we all get rich, Chris, and we just don't stand for anything anymore now? I think about this. I worry about this a lot. You know those emails you send into the show of, Jesse, I listen with my kid and it blesses me, or Jesse, thank you, I lost my business and you helped get through the hard times, and doing things for other people and stuff like that that we get to do on the show. I worry that we're going to lose that one day, and I hope I don't. That's just a very honest thing. I hope I don't, but it's something that it does worry me a lot. I'm more worried about losing any connection to normal people than I am about making a bunch of money. That's the honest truth. I'm just not a huge money guy. I like money as much as the next thing, but I don't. It's not one of those things I wake up every day and check my bank account. It's just not something I want big in my life. Dear proud veteran of the U.S. Navy. You know what? That's not very nice. All right. I was not in the Navy. It's the Marines. All right. I know both my parents. Why aren't you selling a Jesse Kelly for President bumper sticker on your website? You will sell a million of them. It will be good exposure for your show. And who knows? You might make the primaries from one infantryman to another. I don't want to be president. I've explained this before. Now, I want to be in charge. I do. I want to be in charge, but I would not accept a position that was anything less than dictator. I would not. The truth is, and I don't want to burst your bubble. We got some fun questions coming up here, so we're going to have fun, but here's the truth. The next president, let's say we get a Republican president in 2024. Let's say it's Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis. Is this going to be one of those two guys if it's a Republican president? And I don't know. I'm not predicting a win, but let's say we get them in. Here's the honest truth. If one of them, if either of them gets elected, if he started doing things that would actually save the country, the things he has to do as president, he would be impeached from both parties almost immediately. You really do have to break up the FBI completely. You have to scatter it to the winds, or you're not going to have an America in 10, 20 years as the Cheka continues to weaponize itself. If you want to save the United States military, you really can't subtly do it. The cancer is so pervasive in our military, you really would have to fire every officer above an 06, all of them gone. And I'm actually working with a U.S. senator as we speak right now on a targeted plan. He's working with me and a couple other guys on a targeted plan to clean out some of the worst filth in the military if he gets a chance to. And I'm proud of him, and I'm happy he's doing it. Maybe I'll tell you later on who it is. I'm not allowed to right now. But even that, as I've explained very frankly to him, even that it's not enough. This is not near enough. When gangrene has infected that much, the whole arm has to be chopped. I don't want to be president because I don't believe a president can save this country. This country can only be saved now legally and locally, and it's going to take us years of winning local elections, taking over school boards and city councils and sheriff's departments. That is our path to greatness. All right, you know what? What's my favorite caliber of round? My answer is embarrassing, and it will surprise you. And I'll tell you in a moment after I tell you to go get a Pure Talk phone. Your cell phone service. I know we all have cell phones. Don't lie. I know you've got a cell phone. You're probably listening to the Jesse Kelly Show on your cell phone, either live on the iHeart app or podcasted somewhere. I get it. We have them. We all have them. We don't have to pay a company that hates our freaking guts for the right to make cell phone calls, to send text messages. You know that you'll not only save a fortune at Pure Talk, who doesn't need that right now, but you will actually support a company that shares your values? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk now.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Man, we're almost done with 2 hours of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Someone wants to know why the regulators didn't catch what was happening at Silicon Valley Bank. And I'm going to talk about that. I'll get to that here in just a couple minutes. Let me get to this one first. Dear Dr. Jesse, as a firearms aficionado, I'm sure you agree that diversity is truly our strength and that our lives are enriched by a multitude of different calibers, types of guns, gun manufacturers, firearms, accessories, and so on. From the venerable cap and ball to the versatile 9mm to the roaring 44 Magnum to the celebrated 30-06, so on and so forth. My question is, what is your favorite caliber? No restrictions, can be a pistol, rifles, shotgun, whatever. It doesn't have to be based on practical considerations. Would be interested to hear what a world-famous author shoots when he goes to the range. But first, make sure you're taking good care of that bar, because it looks hungry from here. Bar was hungry today. All right, my favorite caliber is actually embarrassing. And I don't know, actually, that I would call myself a firearms aficionado. There are so many listeners who know so much more about guns than I do. I know my way around some guns, and I grew up with guns, and I'm very comfortable around guns. But some of you, your level of knowledge is amazing. It doesn't come close to having what mine is. And I've shot a lot of them, a lot of different guns of different kinds. You know what the funnest gun for me to shoot was? The MP5. An MP5, in case you don't know what an MP5 is. All right, you know, I'm going to explain this. The gun people are going to roll their eyes. Shut up, gun people. I'm explaining it to people who don't know anything about guns, all right? You've seen a pistol, like something the cops carry. Lots of cops will carry a pistol. Many cops will carry a 9mm. I carry a Glock 19. It's a 9mm. That's a reference to the size of the round. Okay, so that's a pistol. That's the smaller gun, the pistol, all right? 9mm. Here's the thing, non-gun people, about rounds and size and how much the weapon kicks. A small round will kick less than a big round. There's less of an explosive charge in there, okay? So you just stay with me here. Stay with me here. But the weight of the weapon matters too. For instance, if I have a heavy round and a very light pistol, because I want my pistol to be light, the frame to be light, she's going to bite you a little bit. It's going to have a lot of kick to it. It's going to have more kick to it. This is just basic physics of guns. All right, you still with me so far? It's making sense? So a heavy round with a light gun is going to kick a lot. That's why oftentimes if you pick up a long rifle of some kind, what you would look at as a deer hunting rifle or a sniper rifle, maybe that's what you'd call it, a long rifle. If you have a really heavy one, it's physically heavy. Lots of times there's a reason for it. That's because it lowers down on the kick. My dad had a 338, still has a 338. That's a heavy long gun. You can drop a moose with a 338, but it was also fairly light to carry because we were always humping through the mountains looking for elk and deer and things like that. Woo! You put a couple rounds through the old 338, you're going to hurt. It's nice to carry, but that bad boy bites you. All right, so you still with me? The MP5, I'm explaining this for non-gun people, has a pistol round, back to that pistol round, the 9mm round. It's just a little round. Yet, you would look at it and say, that's a short rifle. That's what you would call it. I wouldn't call it that. I'm not going to go into the details. It'll just nerd out on some things. But you would look at it and say, oh, it's a short rifle. And it's got a butt that goes in your shoulder and you shoot it. So you have this heavy, long MP5 with this light little round. And I got to shoot a bunch of fully automatic ones in the Marines. I know it's a light kind of baby girl round. Dude, I would kill if I could legally own a fully automatic MP5. You know how much fun it is to pop a 30-round mag and an MP5 and not only unload the whole thing, be able to hold it all fairly steady center mass in the kill zone on a target You feel like Steven Seagal. Does Steven Seagal still make movies, Chris, or did I just date myself? He's kind of old and fat now, though, and weird. I mean, I guess he was always weird. But that, I love shooting an MP5. I've shot big ones, big guns, small guns, everything in between. I love shooting an MP5. I just do. I'll tell you one gun. Oh, Chris, get ready. Email inbox is going to be full from hate. It's going to be full of hate. You ready for a gun that I don't like? I don't like the 45. The 45 caliber. Chris said, why? Well, here's why I didn't even want to say it. I want to like the 35. I want, or the 35, the 45. I want to like it. I know the history behind it. I understand that's what they were packing in World War II. And not only that, they look so good. If you get, these are fancy ones, I would never spend this kind of money, but if you get a Kimber 45 or something like that, oh man, it looks great. So it's aesthetically pleasing. It's a great thing. It's probably because I've practiced so much. I put so many rounds through a 9mm. I'm used to shooting with a certain ability level with a 9mm. I get a 45. I know it's on me. I'm just not as accurate. I'm putting them in the kill zone. Don't get me wrong, but I'm 3 or 4 inches off of where I am with the 9mm. I know all the 45 lovers are going to email me their hatred for me. Justifiably so. I hate myself for it. I want to like the 45. I just don't. All right. Hey, look, while you're sending me the email screaming at me about the 45 you carry and why it's better than my Glock 19, at least do me a solid. Give Preborn a $28 donation while you do it, because then you can do something mean, like lecturing your favorite radio host, while also saving the life of a baby. And I'd say that more than washes out any hate mail or death threats you send my way. Go to preborn.com/Jesse, because Preborn is finding women who are seeking out an abortion. They're not just out there shoulder tapping random women. These women are on their way to have an abortion. They're doing internet searches, but they're finding where to get an abortion. And Preborn is finding them and saying, hey, I know you're scared. I get it. Why don't you come in and we'll give you a free ultrasound? No charge to you. She lays down. She gets that ultrasound. She hears that heartbeat of her baby. And like that, she becomes a mother. And then Preborn doesn't kick her out on the curb. Hey, thanks. Congrats on having the baby. Have a good one. If she needs help, and they oftentimes do need help, real, real, tangible help, Preborn does that too. When we give to Preborn, that's what we're giving to. Just a blessed organization. I love them so much. And I love that you love them. Thank you. We have a goal of saving 15,000 babies' lives this year on the show, and we are on our way. $28 buys that ultrasound. $15,000 buys them an ultrasound machine if you got the money. I don't know what your situation is. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say baby, or go to preborn.com/Jesse. That's preborn.com/Jesse, sponsored by Preborn. All right. We have some rough stuff going on in the banking world, to put it mildly. Someone has asked a question, a very good question. Why didn't the bank regulators catch this and do something about it? Let's have a chat next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.